apologize profusely. And I blame Ali mainly, and God and myself a lot, because it's just still an emotional thing for me when we sing in church. I don't know what it's like for all of you, but it is such a strange and deeply moving thing that I always get slightly overcome the first song of the day, and that was a very good couple of songs to start with to get me properly welled up and properly emotional. So if I keep going all the way through, please forgive me and try to ignore it. So today I want to talk about two very, very, very important words, very legal words, that are deeply important and deeply personal to each one of us. They are redemption and adoption. Both of these fundamentally changed who I was and who I am and who I continue to change into. They are as important to grasp for brand new Christians as they are to remember for those who've been Christians for a while. And they are the wonderful, wonderful gift ready for those of us, or those of you who are wanting to choose to follow Jesus for the first time. Redemption and adoption are what are offered to us by God. These words describe what it means to be a Christian in a deep and deeply important way. And the words are personal and individual to each one of us, to me and to each one of you. These words, I believe, are the crux of Christian life. So I'd like to spend some time on them. In the passage Ray read to us from Galatians, Paul writes, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Firstly, redemption. Jesus was sent to redeem. Earlier in the letter to Galatians, in chapter 3, verse 13, Paul describes the law as a curse. Knowing what is wrong and still doing it. Knowing what is right and not doing it. The Jews had had 1,300 years of knowing God's law, of knowing exactly how they were failing. They'd been imprisoned by it, knowing God's law and failing to obey it. And their failure had made them slaves. And we still know this failure today. We may not know it as clearly as the people of Israel knew it, but we still feel the guilt and shame and often despair of knowing we cannot seem to avoid doing the wrong thing. Repeatedly and continually, we are failing to be the people we want to be. Jesus was born under the law, Paul says. But Jesus did not break the law. He did not fail. He remained obedient to God his whole life. He was the perfect human. He was immune to the curse of the law. Yet, he chose to take on all our failures, to take on our curse for himself. All our shame and sin, he died for us so that we might be redeemed. Redeemed. No longer slaves. Right and wrong are no longer the trap for us. The law no longer imprisons us because of Jesus. Your failures and your sins no longer count against you. Isn't that amazing? Through faith in Jesus, you are redeemed fully. You are set free. Everything is paid for by him. You are forgiven and your sheet is wiped clean. That is what it means to be redeemed. In the sight of God, Jesus' goodness and righteousness is ours, is yours. When God looks at you and I, he sees Jesus. And it doesn't stop there. It is wonderful to feel the weight of our failures and the rubbish we carry around fall away. It is wonderful to know that God sees Jesus-like goodness when he looks at you and me. But there is more. Jesus was sent to redeem us, Paul writes, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Now, this is quite mind-boggling stuff. I just want to say one thing about sonship here. Yes, I will want to say one thing about sonship. So the word sonship is important, but it is inclusive. It is fundamentally inclusive. Daughters, sons, children, we are all children. We all have exactly the same gift, exactly the same rights. In the context that Paul was speaking about, the sons would almost certainly be inheritors. And that is why he uses the specific term sonship. We are all heirs. We are all inheritors. Because Paul previously writes, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I was thinking perhaps it's a shame there's no word in the English language for childship in the same as a word for sonship. But never mind, we'll just have to make do with the imperfection of the English language. It is not about gender. The fact is, as Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 17, we are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. That is the level of our status. And Jesus is crucial. Jesus is pivotal. 1 John 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is our advocate. In the same way that a lawyer stands between us and the court of law, between us and the judge and between us and the jury, Jesus stands beside us and between us and God in all things. The theologian Morna Hooker, who's one of my favorite theologians, I have a list I will give you later, talks about the interchange principle. She wrote, it is because Christ is acknowledged as righteous that believers are justified. It is because he is declared to be the Son of God that we too receive sonship. It is because he is glorified that mankind is restored to glory. We are offered full inheritance. God sent his Son to redeem and to make us children of God. By sending Jesus, he gives us the status of his children. And then he sends his Spirit too. So that as well as status, we are given the character and knowledge of his children. Through the Holy Spirit working in us, we get a taste of our inheritance as children of God, the first fruits of the kingdom, the beginning of what it is like to feel like to be a child of God in the kingdom of God. And we are transformed day by day, year by year, to be more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit works in your heart to ready you for the kingdom. You don't have to do it yourself. To get you in the right place, to get you into your royal clothes. Adoption is both an absolute change in your status and also a continual process that takes place in our lives. And importantly, the change in status comes first. First, we are adopted. We are the little Annie or the little orphan child, dirty, messed up, naughty. That's when God says, you're my child. That is when we are adopted. After that point, the Spirit begins to change us, and we change to become more like the children of God, more like Jesus. Nanette and I have two very close friends who have adopted. Their children are a joy and an absolute blessing. And they are fundamentally their children. There is no question. One of the most touching moments for Nanette and I in the early years of that adoption process was the first time hearing mum and dad from the mouths of those little children addressing our friends. It was lovely. Paul writes, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Abba is the affectionate Jewish Aramaic name for dad or daddy. And it can be dad or daddy. So depending on how old you are, you might feel a bit uncomfortable calling your own dad daddy, or you might feel uncomfortable, feel uncomfortable calling God daddy, but you might feel certainly in your heart to be able to call him dad because you're allowed to. Now, I know this is a very strange one because we all call God Father. In all our prayers, it's our Father and dear Father and Father God, and that's fine. But just remember in the back of your mind, it's the dad kind of father, not the distant Victorian archetypal stereotype of father who doesn't really care as long as you look smart what's going on in your life. It is the close, intimate father, the dad. Paul writes, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. And as we become more like his children, we feel like he is our Abba, our dad. I remember helping my dad build dams on the beach, trying to find a little rivulet of water and building dams up with the sand. And I remember the joy of helping somebody, helping my dad build something, not do it on my own, not letting him do it all on his own, but helping. And that's the kind of relationship God enjoys with us, wants to have with us. He knows exactly what he's doing. He doesn't need our help, but he loves to work with us. He loves us to serve him and to work with him and enjoy life with him. That is the kind of dad, the kind of father we have in God. Redemption and adoption, two very legalistic, quite difficult words, but with a profound meaning to each of us inside, intimately, absolutely individually, personally with God. I want you to think about these gifts, accept these gifts, if you haven't already. Thank God for them. Just keep thanking him that he is that kind of dad, he is that kind of father, and he does love you that much. And realize them, recognize them, dwell in them, wonder at them, soak them up. Don't put them to the side and forget about them. Don't start thinking about God as the old-fashioned Victorian dad, father, who didn't really care much. Don't start thinking about the fact that you're still so full of sin and still so rubbish and still so horrible. God has redeemed you. God has adopted you. I want you to remember those terms. Keep remembering adoption and redemption. The good thing about being kind of legalistic terms is they are very distinct words. So you can remember redemption, adoption. You're no longer slaves because of those words. And everything that I've said stems from that point in history, 2,000 years ago, when God's Son entered the world. Born of a woman, a fully human man, born under the law, a Jew with the strictest understanding of right and wrong, totally obedient to God, totally good, the perfect human being. He died upon a cross for our sake. It is through Jesus Christ that we are redeemed and set free. It is through Jesus Christ alone that we are recognized as full children of God, full heirs to his kingdom. There is no hero in history like Jesus. I'm just going to finish with some words that John Stott wrote. What we are as Christians, as children and heirs of God, is not through our own merit, nor through our own effort, but through God, through his initiative of grace, who first sent his Son to die for us, and then sent his Spirit to live in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Saviour, who died for me and died for you. Amen.